all of Klal Yisrael. And the Medrash says like this, that what he was saying to them was, Mahayoyim. What's Hayoyim today? Mahayoyim Meir Pa'omim U'ma'afil Pa'omim. Just like sometimes the day is bright, the day is dark. Af'atem, so to you. Kesha'afel Olochem, when it is dark for you, Osid Lohoyer Olochem Oyer Oylom. Rabbi Nishlan, who's the light of the world, will light up for you. Shenemar, V'hoyer Lecho Hashem Lohoyer Oylom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be an eternal light. A Mosai, but when is this? Bizman shetiyu kulchem agudo achas. When you will be all together in one unit. Shenemar, chayim kulchem hayoyim. Kulchem is all together. Says the Medrash Benoyek Sheba Oilom. It's the general minig in the world that im noitel odom agudo shalkinim, if a person takes a bundle of bamboo sticks, shemo yochel ushovrum bevasachas, is it possible to break a bundle in one go? Can't. If one takes them separately, even a little child can break them. Until they are one unit. They're together. They're going to Klal Yisrael united. That's when they will receive and greet the Shechina. Da steht im Pasuk Vayi Bishurun Melech Bis Asif Roshe Yom Yachat Shifte Yisrael. When does the Rebbeinu Yisrael become king over Yishurun? Bis Asif Roshe Yom, when the heads of the nation are gathered, Yachat Shifte Yisrael. When the Shvatim and the tribes are in unity together. That's Yachat. Then Rebbeinu Yisrael is met. Steht weiter, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he reinitiates the covenant of the Rabbeinu Shloilam, and what's unique about the covenant in this week's parsha, that there was an obligation of arvus, of mutual responsibility, one to another. That's this week's parsha, this week's drosha of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what this week's the new covenant, the new bris that Moshe Rabbeinu speaks about. Steht im Pasuk Penyesh Kochem, lest there be among you Ish oy Isha, oy Mishpoch oy Shevet, Asher Levo Mifoyne Hayoyim Im Hashem Elokeinu. His heart turns away from the Rabbeinu Shloilam. Lo Leches Navedes Elohei Agoyim Oyein. He wants to serve idols. Penyesh Kochem, Shoyresh Poyre Roish Velano, lest there be amongst you. Shoyrish is a root, Poyre Roish Velano, which is flourishing with gall worm and with gall and wormwood. Hoyo, it shall be Bishomoy as Divrei Ha'olah Hazois. When he hears the words of this bris, of this covenant, of this shua, Vizborich Bilvovoy Leimoy, Sholim Rieli, I'm at peace. Kibishrilus Libi Eilech, I'm going to follow my heart's desires. Leman, Sefoy Sorovo, Esatzmeyo. To adding the water to the thirsty. We'll explain soon. Zokter Rabbeinu Shloilam, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Lo yoy v'Hashem saloyachloy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not forgive him. Ki oz yeshan af Hashem v'kinoso, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger and his smoke, v'kinoso, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's jealousy by Yisho and that person, v'rov tzavoy v'l Allah, that this Allah will bear down strongly upon him. What does it mean, Leman, Sfoy saloyachloy satzmeyo? So the Rishonim have various different pshatim, the Mefoshim. Rashi says, Leman Sfois Horovo, the Rov is the person who's satiated, the Satsma, the one who's thirsty, says Rashi Pshat, that this is a metaphor that for somebody who's drunk too much, he's drunk. If he's drunk, and Pshat is a Vesish Vosatut, he doesn't know what he's doing. So what he does is unintentional. But a person who is not drunk, he's smay or he's thirsty, he's rational. Then, if he's chosen to do something wrong, he's doing it b'mezit. So it's a metaphor, a man's voice or rovers at smay. A person who's not willing to be part of this unique covenant, and he's saying, b'shlus li b'eilech, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will incorporate and punish him, not just for the mezit, not just for the rational, for the intentional, for the smayor, for that which he does when he's not drunk, when he's of sane, when he's doing rational, but even es harova, when he's actually drunk, when his mind is unintentional. That's how Rashi learns pshat. I.e., if a person falls prey to the delusion that he's free to follow his heart's desires, then he'll be held responsible both for the mazid and for the shogeg. And this is a result of his indifference to the gravity of this bris, of this covenant of arvus, of responsibility. That's how Rashi learns pshat. The Ramban learns differently. The Ramban says that when a person has a taiva for the forbidden, he has a desire for the forbidden, so in order to fulfill that desire, in order to quench his thirst, he tastes the forbidden. And he thinks that will satisfy his cravings. But it doesn't work like that. When a person tastes the forbidden, and he thinks he's quenched his thirst, then he's got a desire for further. Then he starts getting cravings, and his cravings get stronger and stronger. And it snowballs out of control, because then he desires greater satisfaction. It's addictive. That's leman sfois harovo esatzmeo. That when he is rovo, when he thinks he's satisfied, it actually leads to tzmei, it leads to further hunger, and it becomes a snowball, where a person is nasa loy kehet, when a person is over aveir, kivin jishonobo, it gets worse and worse. That's how the Ramban learns pshat. But the Sforno says pshat as follows. Achidish from the Sforno. The Sforno says that here we're talking about a person who's amongst Klal Yisrael. He's part and parcel of Klal Yisrael. One looks at him, one doesn't see anybody different to the rest of Klal Yisrael. And he's there and he's standing in front of Moshe Rabbeinu together with the rest of Klal Yisrael, and he's seeing Moshe Rabbeinu's drosh, his final will and testament. But his heart refuses to accept the bris, the covenant. His heart refuses. But his mouth does accept it. He's echod bepeh ve'echod belev. His heart refuses, but his mouth, he accepts it. Why? Because he's looking to quench his thirst. He's looking to satisfy his desires. The man's voice, he wants to satisfy his thirst. He wants to satisfy his desires. I.e., what he wants to do is, he wants best of both worlds. He wants to enjoy the benefits of the brochas that Moshe Rabbeinu has given over to Klal Yisrael if they accept upon themselves the bris, the covenant of arvus, of mutual responsibility. He wants to be part and parcel of the brocha. If there's brochas being handed out, he's all there and he's part and parcel of it. But he doesn't want to accept it in his heart. So that is those that are tzmeo, those that are thirsty, are the ones who are thirsty for Dvar Hashem. Those that are satisfied, they're satisfied. They just want to be satisfied with their desires. They're full up, they're full of their desires. And, says the Sforno, the Gevaldik Ezach, this person would actually be part and parcel of it and receive the brachas. He would receive the brachas. Even though in his heart he has no intention of being part of this whole covenant. He's no intention of being mekabel, no intention of accepting it for himself. But he'll get the brachas. Why? Because he's there with Klal Yisrael and he's accepting the Olah, the Shvuah, with his mouth. And he'll end up getting both. He'll be able to do what he wants and he'll be able to get the brachas also. Why? Because he's there with part of it, he's there with Klal Yisrael. If he's in with Klal Yisrael, then he'll get the brachas. But his heart is not there. Says the Rebbeinu Shalom, V'ivdilo Yashem l'ro'o mikol shiftei Yisrael. The Rebbeinu Shalom will forcefully have to separate him from Klal Yisrael in order that he shouldn't be part and parcel of the bracha. That's pshat in the psukim here, according to this form. Comes out to Gevaldik Kazach. That if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't forcefully separate him l'ro'o, V'ivdilo Yashem l'ro'o, then this person, who has absolutely no intention of being part and parcel of the bris, because in his heart he's got no desire, he's busy with his own personal desires, and he has no rotzen to be memale the rotzen of the Rebbeinu Shloilom. With his mouth he accepts Olo, he'll get the brochas, if not for Yivdilo Hashem Lero. So brings Reb Chaim Zvi Levitz a view in this form. That is the gewaldike meile of being part and parcel of a unit, part and parcel of Klal Yisrael. That's the mile of being, of unity, of being together. That even a person who's be'etzem inside, out is badem. But because he accepts it together with Klal Yisrael, he'll get the bracha, if not for the Yivdilo Hashem Lero. So says the Sforno of Pshat. The Gemara says, increases, that what's considered a public fast day, says the Gemara, increases that a public fast day, a Tanis Tzibur, that doesn't include that doesn't include the choitim, those who are sinners, das sind nicht kantanis. Das sind nicht kantanis. Omar Rav Chonah bar Bizno, Omar Rav Shimon Chasida, kol tanis shein bo mipoish yisro lein tanis. Why? Shari chel beno reichora. The galbanum possesses a repugnant odor. Yet, umono akosavim sammone akdoiris, it's part and parcel of the spices. Is afidi the rosha, is part and parcel of the unit. And without the rosha there, as part and parcel of the unit, nishkan tainis. A tainis is when Klal Yisrael are together. That's the concept of the Dalid Minim. The Musug of the Dalid Minim, where you've got two Minim that bear fruit, you've got two Minim that don't bear fruit. But without one another, each one requires another. They can't be used. They need to be a bubble. They need to be an agudo achas. As they state in Gemara Menachos, that kach Yisrael be'artzor, if Klal Yisrael want artzor, if they want that the Rebbeinu should be appeased, they want to appease the Rebbeinu Shloilom, then whether they bear fruit, whether they don't bear fruit, they all have to be together. Aboine b'shamayim aloisof, says the Gemara, v'agudosoy al eretz yesoda. When does HaKadosh Baruch Hu build the upper stratas in heavens? Only if agudosoy al eretz yesoda, if his group have been founded on earth, when they are founded upon earth, when they are gudim, when they are united, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is appeased. Yodua, that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says pshat in the Gemara. The word chayim, sheker achayim vehevel ayoyfi. The word chayim is grace. Noyach motzo chayim ve'ine Hashem. Ve'la'anovim yitin chayim shvet ha'posuk. Torah is ayeles ahovim ve'yalas chayim. It inspires grace. Ve'gam motzo si chayim ve'inecho. We find the word chayim kesed in the Torah. Or steht sheker achayim vehevel ayoyfi. Yisho yiris Hashem yisisalo, says the Gemara. What's made us? Sheker achayim. That's Zedoyle Shal Moshe Yeshua. Why? She osku batoyle harbe. They learned toyle a lot. So why is it sheker? Why is it sheker achayim? Tell it is a sheker achayim in comparison to a different generation. To the generation of Chizki. Where the generation of Chizki, or they were botku midon vaad beir sheva. And from Gvasta Antipras, they couldn't find a single child who didn't know the most complex halachas of Tum and Tahara. The Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu is Sheker Achein in comparison to the generation of Chizkiyo. But the generation of Chizkiyo was Hevel Ayoifi. The generation of Chizkiyo was considered Hevel, was vain, it was beautiful. And the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu was Chein, it was grace, but it was Sheker, it was false, in relation to the generation of Chizkiyo. The generation of Chizkiyah was Yoifi, it was beautiful. But in relation to the generation of Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Eloi, it was Hevel HaYoifi. What was so great about the generation of Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Eloi? Not that they learned a lot of Torah through Moshe and Yeshua. Not that they were able to test every child in Hilchos Tumah Tahara. But what? Shal Yoshisho Mistalmidim Niskasa Vitalis Echo, that six Talmidim would cover themselves with one blanket. Was the pshat in them? Pasha pshat Zokta Chaim Shulam Levitzis. That the beauty of that generation was that they learned Torah mitoy chatchak. Because there's nothing more beautiful than Torah mitoy chatchak. Torah, through poverty, that's the most beautiful thing the Rebbeinu Shloilem likes. The Rebbeinu Shloilem loves Torah through poverty. That's why the Rebbeinu Shloilem's favorite places, Kiryat Sefer, Bnei Brak, all these places where there's extreme poverty that we can't even fathom. We're so far removed from the level of poverty that's going on there. But the Rebbeinu Shloilem to sleep, like we learned from that Yoni, that I don't remember the Lashon HaGemara, that Yo'e Ani Yusel Yehudoi, that poverty is doch beautiful for a Yid, like a red ribbon on a white horse. So Sazei Zokta Gemara, that poverty is beautiful. So what was beautiful, Isho Yiras Hashem Itisalo, that's the generation of Yehudi Beloi, where they were so poverty stricken, they had one blanket amongst six Talmidim. The Chagav, Bar Chassidim Zoktman, that by the literature, Abyssal Schleppers, there's always poverty. Is we say, learn Pshat and Gemara Poshet, Yohan Yusri Yudoi, that poverty is beautiful for Yidden like a red ribbon on a white horse. But Chassidim Zokman, the Chassidim, not Mishkazel Schleppers. By them, they help me from Panosa. So they say, Bosn Pshat, Yohan Yusri Yudoi. Havada, every Yid should have Panosa. Every Yid shouldn't be poor. Every Yid is a lot of Gesund Panosa, the Revach. But a person shouldn't show his wealth in public. In his house, he should have wealth. In public, he doesn't need to show off. When does the horse wear the red ribbon? In the stable? No, when he's being taken out to be paraded, that's when he wears the red ribbon. Is your aniyus al yidoy, poverty is beautiful for a yid, when he's being paraded outside? Inside you should have panos gezunt heit, but outside there's no need to show it off. Outside, yo, it's beautiful that he should be seen as if he's poverty stricken. As al gebin stocker, but he shouldn't show off his what he does have in public. As long as they're chassid. A kol ponim pshat in the Gemara, poshik pshat toyim techatchay. Zogt Chaim Shmulevitz an andere pshat. How can six talmidim cover themselves with one blanket? The Teretz is as yena zogt, no, you need it more than me. You need it more than me. If every person says you need it more than me, that's how it's possible for six people to cover themselves with one blanket. Pshat is, that is the beauty of the generation of Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Loi, which is better than the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu, better than the generation of Chizkiyo. Why? Because Shisha miskasim b'talis echot. That's Isha Yiras Hashem Tisalo, when there was a feeling of joint suffering. When each one understood and felt for the other ones, there was a gewaldika arvus, there was a gewaldika sense of mutual responsibility. That's the most beautiful generation. It's about Rosh Hashanah. About Rosh Hashanah, we know the story of the Shunamis. That the Shunamis who hosted Elisha, Hatzadik, and Ziot gut verstanden, wer das ist. And when he asked her, is there anything that I can do for you? She helped him out. She hosted him, she looked after him, she fed him, she even built a loft extension. I presume she got planning permission for it. And she built a loft in order to look after him. And he said, can something be said on your behalf for the king? Hayesh ledabe loch ala melech. Maybe I've got protected by the melech. What did she answer? B'soichami anoichu yoshevis. B'soichami anoichu yoshevis, I don't want anything. I dwell amongst my people. And vosi geshen? That Geichazi said, Elisha, as the Otmish can kind, she hasn't got children, Nebuch, and if you daven, she'd have children, so he promised her a child, she daven, and she had a child, and we know how the story continues. Stating Zoyhar, that was made us, Hayesh Noch Ledabere, Noch El HaMelech, it was Rosh Hashanah. It was Rosh Hashanah, and Elisha said to Rosh Hashanah, is an opportune time for me to daven for anything you want. She didn't have any children. On Kinder, what could be better? She's winning the sweepstakes. Elisha's offering to daven for on Rosh Hashanah. She could have asked for children. What did she say? No. I dwell amongst my people. I don't want to be boiled. I don't want to stick out. I want to be part and parcel of Klal Yisrael. I'm part of the unit. And she was willing to give up having children because she understood what's meant us. Hamelech is the Rebbei Nishloilam. And this wasn't Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, that's why Rosh Hashanah, the best thing is not to be boiled, but to be part of the cloud. Not to stick out, but to be part of the cloud, to be part of the unit. That's the maila of the cloud. That even a person who's a Rosha would receive the brochas, if not the Vidil Hashem Nero. That's the maila of being part of the cloud, even when the Rosh is part of the cloud. Imo Avaryonim, we say by Kol Nidre. And that's the maila of the cloud of Esoich Ami Anoich Hashem. It's nishtokin besera brocha than to be part and parcel of a unit. Yudua, that story that when there was the blood libel of Mendel Baylis in 1911, so one of the arguments of the prosecution was that he's very likely he's guilty of murder because he has no qualms. Jews have no qualms about murdering non-Jews. What's the raya? Because shtei doch atem kri modom ve'einu mesoilim kri modom. The Gemara says that atem kri modom, you, Klal Yisrael are called on, ve'einu mesoilim kri modom, they're not considered odom, they're not considered human. If they're not human, they can be killed. Not killing a human being. And that was one of the arguments of the prosecution. And they didn't have to answer that. So they went to Remeir Shapiro, Lublinerov, and who was well versed in the Musug of Achdus. That was his whole, the brainwave of Dafyoni was to be Ma'agid Klal Yisrael. That's all of Klal Yisrael. Whether it be a Satmer Chosod or whether it be a Yeker, they should all be Agud, and they should all be united with the same Torah. What did he answer? So he said, Pshat is, Atem Kriyim Odom, Ve'enu Mesoilim Kriyim Odom. Odom is one man. Atem Kriyim Odom, it's not that the Mesoilim are not human. Of course they're human. And one mustn't murder them. Atem Kriyim Odom, Klal Yisrael are called one Odom, one man. Ein Mesoilim Kriyim Odom. The Mesoilim are not called Odom. They're called Anoshim. They're called many people. But they're not one unit. They're not one man. We are one man. We are one unit. Said Rav Meir Shapiro, das doch der größte Reihe. Who's standing trial here? Is Reb Mendel Bailey standing trial? Or is all of Klal Yisrael on trial? And that's the Poshit. All of Klal Yisrael was on trial. Bein mitzad umes ha'oilom, who didn't see just Mendel Bailey's, they saw the whole of Klal Yisrael. And bein mitzad Klal Yisrael, who felt for Mendel Bailey's because they understood that he's part and parcel of the unit. So atem kriyim odom, ve'in umes ha'oilom kriyim odom. This was the gewaldika answer of Reb Meir Shapiro. I once heard the Emeritus Chief Rabbi Zaks, he said that the Derech Tzachos, he said when Yaakov Avinu woke up on Harabayis and after having placed all the stones around his head the night before, how awesome is this place? Ein zekim beiselikim, it must be beiselikim. He said if it's a place where even the stones are arguing, then it must be a shtibli, it must be a beiselikim. So Avada, there's always the faribles. The window should be open, the window should be open. Over the Yesoid Adover is we're agudim with the soich. Ami onoiche sheves we're beetsem together. Interessant. To veer off a little bit. This gentleman, this person, who Moshe Rabbeinu speaks about this person, separating himself, Wachar Bohu will separate the rest of Klal Yisrael because he's there. He's there and he accepts. And he's shuckling. My brother always says that a Yid once came to Shamayim and he was a Megulach, shaved. And he was waiting in a queue in Bezdin to be received by Bezdin Shalmala, and he's a Megulach, and behind him is a guy with a long white beard. And he comes to Bezdin Shalmala, and Bezdin said to him, Yid, avu dein bord, where's your beard? And of course he's embarrassed, but afterwards he hears them talking to the fellow behind with a long white beard and saying to him, Bord avui dein yid, beard, where's your yid? I can be a yid without a beard, you can be a beard without a yid. This person is here, he's standing together with Esav Klal Yisrael, and he's saying with his mouth, says the Sfon, he's accepting, but in his heart he's got no interest. In Shoiftim state, Shoiftim v'shoitrim titin necho b'chol she'orecho. And then it says, Lo yisita lecho asher recollects. Says the Gemara in Avodah Zorah, Lomo nismecho the parsha of Shoiftim v'shoitrim to the parsha of Lo yisita lecho asher. Says the Gemara, to teach us that kol amam midayin she'enei hogon, anybody who appoints a dayan, a judge who's not worthy, ki ilo noiteya asher b'yisor, as if he's planting an asher tree. What's an asher tree? Asher tree is a tree which is an Avodah Zorah tree. Now why did the Torah choose to juxtapose and equate a dain she'ino hogun to an asherah tree? Equated to Avodah Zorah, equated to Chilul Shabbos, equated to Ritzicha, to any Avodah Zorah. What's up to Baal Pa'oil? There's also Avodah Zorah. What's up to Asherah? What's up to Asherah? Somebody showed me a picture that recently was going around, and today pictures go around very easily. So he showed me a picture. And his picture was of a person who went to check his tefillin. He went to check his tefillin. He'd worn them for 11 years. And he went to check his tefillin by the sofa. The sofa opens up the tefillin, a beautiful pair of tefillin. He opens them up. And inside, there was no klaf. There was no parshis. What was inside the tefillin? Inside the tefillin was a rolled up note. I saw the picture of it. And it says, achalta ota, in Ivrit. In Hebrew, achalta ota means, you've fallen in for it. Bist daran gefallen. You've fallen in for it. Anyway, I saw this. I couldn't sleep that night. My heart skipped a beat. Nebuchadnezzar Safayid. Not only did this sofa deprive him of wearing tefillin for 11 years, where we know that the most beautiful, the crown and glory of Klal Yisrael is not tefillin. There's no greater thing than tefillin. And the Gemara says that kankaftu de loyimon ach tefillin, a head that doesn't wear tefillin, rachmon al Islam. What happens to somebody who doesn't put on tefillin? It's something that we all know is untouchable tefillin. And Nebuch, not only did the sofer deprive him of tefillin, but Nochdutzu, he went and gave him such a jab, such a nasty thing to write. Azar Achmona Safayid, such a rush of the sofer, that was my total impression. Thus he does. That's a total deception. You have a pair of tefillin here, that as far as anyone says, is perfectly kosher. On the inside, it's empty. Not only is it empty inside there's vicious here. Achal tota. That's an asherit tree. What's an asherit tree? Asherit tree is a beautiful tree. Most beautiful tree. You can sit under the shade. A tree is a chashen ezach. Nothing more beautiful than a tree. Beautiful. A mele, a getchke, terach savoy de zora. Everyone knows it's avoy de zora. Of a tree, who's going to know it's an avoy de zora? One can make an asherit tree and nobody would be the wiser that it's an asherit tree and cause other people to fall in. That's a bluff. There's no greater deception. That's the beard without the yid. That's the board on the yid. That's an asherit tree. And that's a dain sheina hogan. A dain sheina hogan or a sheina frak with a langer board. All looks good. Of inside, it's a voice of bluff. That's deception. And that's this yid that Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about in this week's parasha Atam and Nitzavim Bayoim, that he's part and parcel of the Klal, he's there and he's accepting the Olah. And he's amongst the multitudes. But in his heart, he's somewhere else. That's a bluff. That's worse, because he's echod bepev, echod beleiv. There's deception here, there's a bluff. The Chagav, just to finish off, I'll tell you what happened to the end of this story. The end of the story was, a few days later, this fellow comes back to me, and he says to me, I want to tell you what happened in this story with this picture. What happened was, that the fellow who had bought the tefillin from this sofer who was a rosha, for writing such a sofer, this fellow Nebuch, the sofer, had as a child, had been Nebuch Rachmana Litzan abused by the person who bought the tefillin off him many years later. And he saw it was an opportunity for revenge, for payback. Such bitterness, he ruined his life, and he was a sofer, decided to pay him back. That's how he paid him back. Now, avada and avada, there's no justification for such a thing. But it gives a different light to the picture. One judges the picture according to what one sees, because one doesn't know the story behind the picture. When one sees the story behind the picture, it's another picture, it's a different picture. Not justifying, but it's a different picture. Thus a pshat, al pi ha-toira asher yoyrucho, ta'aseh, lo yisosu min ha-dover asher yagidu lecho yomin u-smoil. And Sifri says, and Rashi brings the Sifri, I feel I'll smoil shu yamin ve'al yamin shu smoil, even if they ten left is right and right is left. You still have to listen to them. And that doesn't make sense. Because left and right is not something that's given to dispute. It's not something that is there can be two views, and I've got to listen to his view. It's a fact. It's definitive. Left is left, and right is right. Everybody knows it. So what does it mean? I feel I'll smush you mean. The Torah is telling us one thing: that the reason we may not be willing to accept those who are greater than us is not because they're wrong. We think they're wrong because we lack information, Poshut. We're convinced this is left. And we're so convinced that we think they're talking shtusim. They're making a mistake. Oh, but the difference is they have more information than we have. Because they've learned more than we have. They've lived longer than we have. They haven't been fakrumped with the world, with the outside world. So they've got a much glatter cop than us. So maybe, Taka, I'm wrong with the left and the right. Because all I see is the picture, but I don't have the information behind the picture. To me, I believe this is smoil. If I would have the information behind the picture, I'd know that he's right and I'm the one who's wrong. And it's Hashem, we should be zoicha, to Roshono, Toivo, Musuka, to Boni, to Chai, to Mizoyne.